The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force with football here, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sports book industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 1-800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You receive 125% sign-up bonus by using bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses. Also, BetUS is known among America's favorite sportsbook for lots of reasons. Bet on team and player props, loads of NFL futures, UFC matches, PGA golf, live betting on most sports. The online casino has hundreds of games. The Racebooks has all the horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. Bet US.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
You have a chance to start your game day tomorrow with a respectful nod to college football royalty. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday, live from Harris Valley River, yonder in Murphy, North Carolina. Only about an hour away from where we were yesterday, and I'm saying our home away from home. And my gosh, now that it's football season, tuck me in. Yesterday, Harris Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina. So anywhere you're listening throughout the network, it's within a day's drive, and it doesn't involve parking at an airport, you know, all of that, and flying to Vegas. If you want to bet on sports, you can do it at either Harris locations. I'm going to be honest. I go to Harris Cherokee, for instance, same reason I go for any other casino or resort like that, because I want to go to a window and get tickets, because I want to turn cards, throw dice, etc. I don't really go for beauty. I got to admit, man, if you're in any sort of casino setting, you will not find a more gorgeous nature-based setting than Cherokee, North Carolina, around that casino and resort. And so the spa and the pool and everything else, it's just a great experience. But like I said, now that it's football season, I mean, it's icing and cherries and all kinds of stuff on top. Said that you got a chance to start your game day tomorrow with a respectful nod to some college football royalty, and you're probably not going to, or at least you weren't going to, and maybe you'll give it 5 minutes. Pitt versus UT. It is a nice bump up in competition for the Vols, and I am interested to see both how much better Milton is in week two, and is it just Milton as the Vols get closer to conference play, which is in Gainesville the week after Bama rolls in? That likely will be a team already, and I'm talking about the Gators, when Tennessee gets into conference play, because they had the home game with Pitt this week. And a chance to improve to 2-0. You know, there's a theory in sports, fake it till you make it. It doesn't matter if you weren't very good against Bowling Green as far as wins and losses. You beat them. We didn't play well. Agreed. You know who doesn't want to hear it? Jeff Collins. Because he said, we didn't play well, and you lost to a team from the MAC. So, Tennessee didn't. Yay for the Vols. 1-0. They step up in competition. Then I think they have, do they have maybe East Tennessee State next? They have somebody else next week. And it could be just Tennessee State. But it's a very beatable opponent. And then, boom, you're into the deep fryer. You go to Gainesville. The week after, Bama will have been in Gainesville. So the Gators will be already in all hands on deck slash we can't lose again mode. They can't. They're after Florida loses to Alabama, which it's sports, there's always a chance. And Florida gets a little more respect than that. But that is the likely outcome there. And then Florida realizes, hey, our math does not work if we lose again, because even if we beat Georgia, then we would have to have another SEC loss on the dogs, and that's just not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. You see how it plays out. It's a desperate – when you have a talented, well-coached team that's also desperate back against the wall, especially coming off that loss, well, they'll be physically worn out. Yeah, there'll be some of that, but it's also early in the season. And you know what? That ain't an NFL roster. That's college. And them kids, oh, they got young legs. They bounce back. So the physical part, because it's still, what, week four? Yeah, they'll be fine. So that's the on-field stuff that I want to find out about. Because Tennessee, you know, for whatever reason, they'll get somebody this year. In fact, that's maybe not even – that's like a Vanderbilt sort. They'll get somebody. That's just a bad team program, whatever, that maybe have a little bit of a pop. I think Tennessee can be better than that. But there's going to be a Saturday where Tennessee gets a win that maybe you're not expecting. And so it's important for me on – I hope for you, if you're a fan of an SEC team and you play Tennessee, or you're a fan of a program that could use Tennessee upsetting Georgia or Florida or whoever, well, yeah, it's an opportunity to see if they are better, because Bowling Green is horrid. Me, you, nine guys named Dwayne. All right, we could put up as much of a fight on defense as Bowling Green. So this is a good step up. So there's plenty of on field. There is history also, though. And labeling this the Johnny Majors Classic is a great way for Pitt and Tennessee to honor a guy who, I mean, he delivered greatness for both programs. Johnny Majors, who, of course, had on-field success about as much as you can at Tennessee, obviously became a head coach, wins a national championship at Pittsburgh. After the national championship, he comes home. Tennessee calls, hey, we're not good, and we really hadn't been good, certainly not consistently, and let's see, oh, yeah, while. And so Johnny comes home, builds the program, up to the point, three SEC championships in 6 years, folks, and that's not nothing. Because when Johnny was doing that, it was still a great combination of just old school, 3 yards and a pint of blood, Vince Dooley, Pat Dye, et cetera, along with Steve Spurrier saying, hey, let's throw the ball some. This looks fun. Tremendous competition, and that's when Johnny delivered. Three SEC championships when going to New Orleans and the Sugar Bowl was still the end of the rainbow. That's one of the biggest screwed-up things about college football now in the playoffs. There are SEC teams that at the beginning of the season want nothing to do with the Sugar Bowl. There are there are seasons where, you know, Michigan fans, Ohio State fans, USC fans, the last thing they want is a Rose Bowl bid. Why? Because the Rose Bowl ain't a playoff game. That's weird to me. That's something like where we all lose. But back in the day, before Phil Fulmer got the job by whatever means, you can fill in your blank. I got to say, I've always personally enjoyed Phil Fulmer's company. Always been very, very accommodating and respectful to me. But also know that, you know, you got to put a filter on some stuff. So, anyway. He got the job, and then, you know, Johnny was kind of done at that point. Johnny delivered, man. And the fact that he delivered at Pitt and UT and they're playing, well, that's great. Folks, this particular series has history. Pitt came in, I want to say, yeah, it was 1980, with Jackie Sherrill as coach. And when I say college football royalty and like a respectful nod, Johnny could have looked at his alma mater and said, yeah, no, I'm good. I just won a national championship, and I got this recruiting thing figured out. And by the way, in the 70s, it wasn't like today where if you're a premier kid, you transfer to IMG down in, where is that, Boca? and you just live that life. That's not Boca. That's the Atlantic side, Bradenton. And you just live that life of a college athlete before you're even in college. That's not what it was. You played where you grew up. And, you know, Western Pennsylvania, there were some pretty good quarterbacks coming out of there. So Jackie could have just stayed. Johnny Majors could have just stayed at Pittsburgh. And I'm going to – because, again, national champs in 1976. That's not, you know, during the Lincoln administration. That's recent stuff, folks. And when he left – what he left behind for Jackie Sherrill. Now, Jackie is a great coach as well. Fantastic. Props. Three straight, I think, 11-1 seasons. I think it was three straight 11-1 seasons when you could go 11-1 and that resulted in you playing in the Gator Bowl. And they dropped a sack of hammers on George Rogers in 1980. That was a tremendous, that was a really good South Carolina team. Pitt's defense, man, they shut him down in the Gator Bowl. So you can go back and part of that 1980 season. See, like it's a great connection that Johnny is part of Pitt and UT, and, hey, they happen to be. But this series also was important. Pitt came into Knoxville in 1980 without Dan Marino. He was hurt. Plucked a kid out of the secondary, Rick Tricano. Well, you're a quarterback today. All right. Beat the dog out of an improved Tennessee team with a much better roster. And it was still just a couple of seasons away from, whoa, Alan Cockrell did what? Wait a minute, Tony Robinson, huh? They did, huh? Tennessee? They're not supposed to beat Alabama. Alabama just beat, it was either 10 or 11 straight years. And then that didn't happen. So... Johnny, again, as a head coach, as a player royalty, as a head coach, he was every bit as good. National champions at a place that you don't even think. Pitt, what, huh? Yeah, Pitt was a power. Pitt-Penn State, end-of-season matchup, usually the day after Thanksgiving. You'd have turkey sandwiches and watch, I mean, two monsters, Godzilla and Rodan at the 50-yard line just swinging sledgehammers at each other. It was a tremendous series, and I was like a 9-year-old kid living in Georgia, and I was like, where's Penn State? So that's what Pitt was because of Johnny Majors and then continued with Jackie. So that's a high noon kick. And I said start your day. I think Virginia is actually kicking off at like 11 tomorrow. And Army's playing early as well, but high noon – Knoxville, Pitt and UT, the Johnny Majors Classic. It's a really nice way for them to honor a guy who really delivered for both programs.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Yeah. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
There are things that we all just parrot because we heard dude on TV say it. One of those is penalties will kill you. There can be some penalties that are tough, but I don't honestly care much about that. I care about pre-snap penalties because you can choose those. You can choose to eliminate those, but some penalties I'm like, no, I'm good with it. Turnovers is what will cost you. And I will give Mississippi State credit, man. They don't screw around. Every team's worst moments is based around turnovers. Last year and to start this season, it's really that way in Starkville, and they can't have that this weekend with a really, really salty squad from Raleigh coming in. I want to welcome on now, good friend of the program, color analyst on the Mississippi State Radio Network. It's our good buddy Matt Wyatt. Matthew, how are you, brother?
Man, just right, Chuck. It's great to hear your voice talking football during football season, as always.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate you carving out some time. Let's talk turnovers. That is the key. Dave Doran's team, you can't give him anything. Talk why that happened last week. Was it fluke? Was it just what's going on with the turnovers?
Yeah, I don't know if it's fluke yet, right, Chuck? Because, you know, you want to see him go out and prove to you it's a fluke. Until then, you got one game under your belt, and it's hard because you, especially here in Starkville, I'm really careful about making big, vast judgments on one game, right? You think about where we were sitting here last year after one game, you know? After one game last year, KJ Costello had thrown for 600 yards against the defending national champs, and we're going to beat everybody. And then the next week, they went on a four-game losing streak and threw more touchdowns to Arkansas than to Mississippi State. You know, so you just don't know. But I would tell you there was a period of time in that game the other day against La Tech where it was as ugly as I've seen. Okay, yes, and turnovers a part of it. Let me put some perspective on that game for you, Chuck. Think about this. In the second and third quarters of that game against La Tech combined, State never ran four consecutive plays without a penalty or a turnover. Now think about that. For an entire two-quarter stretch, they never went four consecutive plays without a penalty or a turnover. Now, in the first and fourth quarters, they had the ball seven times and scored five touchdowns. That's why they won the game. So when a coach talks about consistency, that's what he's talking about. And you're exactly right. If you have penalties and turnovers against NC State, they are going to beat you. They're a good football team.
Let's talk to Jaquavius Marks. He looks over at Anaya Smith and is thinking, yeah, hold my Diet Coke. That is as good a two-way player, and you can motion him out. You can do all kinds of fun things. Talk to Jaquavius for a second.
He's really good, Chuck, and you know, he's put on weight, all right? So he came in as a true freshman last year at 190 with no weight room because of COVID, right? And played at 190 and kind of got pinballed around throughout the year but showed all his toughness. Well, he's sitting there now playing 15 pounds heavier at 205 and delivering some contact. And I feel like I'm, you know, comfortable in saying that I think he's Mississippi State's best offensive player. I mean, his upside is through the roof. He's prototypical in two facets of the game. And the third facet, which is hard to measure, which is toughness, you're just not going to find a tougher one. And they're fortunate to have him, man, for real.
Last question I want to ask you. Unlike the texters last week, I think NC State will be able to do something on the ground, and that's kind of Dave Doran's personality. We got about a minute and a half left, so you can roam with it a little bit. Talk about that NC State ground game, the front seven of State.
Yeah, it starts there. And listen, you know, this scheme under Arnett and these same group of players, they go to Georgia last year, hold Georgia to 8 yards rushing. You know, they limit Tank Bigsby, unlike some others did. They can do it if they sell out. They've got some corners that are capable of playing a little man-to-man. I do know this. They'll challenge NC State's run game. South Florida was not capable of it. State is, and you're pointing it out. The game will be won and lost on the line of scrimmage this Saturday night in Starkville for sure.
Matthew, I always appreciate the insight, brother. It's just so unique, again, coming from a guy who not only played quarterback but in that uniform. So you get both sides of it, man. Thanks for coming on again.
Hey, my pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
All right, Matthew Wyatt, former starting quarterback at Mississippi State. Now he is the color analyst on Saturdays
for football season. Yeah, what we were talking about there with Doran, you're always going to be salty on both lines of scrimmage, and that's where he builds out from. They are, in fact, I was going to say under the radar. They're not on the radar. There's nobody paying attention to NC State because they're in the same conference, first of all, with Clemson, but they're in the same division with Clemson. So you don't even talk about that 13th game for the Wolfpack. That is as removed from the radar as possible. We don't even think you can get to the qualifier game. You're not even going to get out of the prelims because you swim in those waters. NC State is good enough for November to at least be interesting, especially if, I mean, doom and gloom, sky over Clemson, South Carolina, I mean, right over exit 19, down it comes. After one game that you lost, if not for a pick six, which you don't really count on those, they played Georgia square. But Georgia's a national champion already, and Clemson, well, we need to talk about the state of the program.
It's the first weekend of the NFL. It's the second weekend of college football. Hey, everybody, Dan Matthews here, spending a few minutes to give you some of the odds from BetUS. Noon in Tampa on Saturday, Florida at South Florida. Gators 29-point favorite. Over-under is at 58.5. In Columbus, Ohio State 14 and a hook favorite over Oregon. Moneyline minus 700 for the Buckeyes, plus 500 for the Ducks. Over-under 64. The Pittsburgh Panthers are a 3-point favorite on Rocky Top against Tennessee. Pitt minus 155 money line, Vols plus 135, over under 56.5. Iowa at Iowa State. Cyclones giving 4.5. State's money line minus 190. The Hawkeyes plus 165, over under 46. How about the NFL getting started this weekend? Huge game in Kansas City. Chiefs, Browns, late Sunday afternoon. Kansas City giving it 6 at home to Cleveland. Money line minus 175 for KC, plus 155 for the Browns. Saints hosting the Packers in Jacksonville. New Orleans getting 4 points for this home game. Green Bay minus 200 on the money line. Saints plus 170, over under 49.5. Want to have a chance to make some money with BetUS? I got a way, a couple of ways, actually. SST125. With this promo code, you get 125% of a sign-up bonus. For example, that first deposit, $100, we're giving you an extra $125. SST200 for those of you who want to deposit with cryptocurrency. That is 200% on a sign-up bonus. For example, that first crypto deposit, $100, you're getting back $200 extra. BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
I told you 1 week ago when talking Minnesota, Ohio State, brother, I gave you all the context in the world that the Golden Gophers were playing with a truly great college running back. They have the most experienced offensive line in college football. I think a six-year quarterback, and P.J. Fleck is a head coach more than willing to just coach in that little vacuum, that fishbowl. So I gave you all the context in the world. All right, and then Minnesota still moved the ball on the ground, and Ohio State had problems tackling at linebacker, still guys finding their ways. Like I said, it was a good opponent who plays to its strengths, but I'm wondering how much of what I saw against Minnesota in a game that they eventually pulled away and won, how much of that was because of how Fleck and that team is constructed and how they play, and how much might be an Ohio State problem. Well, I got nobody better to bring on right now than a man who hosts something called the Buckeye Show. All right, good enough for me. 97.1 The Fan yonder in C-Bus. It is Tim Hall. Tim, how are you today, man?
I'm good, Chuck. Good to see you back, man. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm on the floor of a casino. I am in a sports book right now at Harris Valley River in Murphy, North Carolina. So, I'm on the clock.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. You know, I should be wearing a mask, carrying a gun.
It's so great. I mean, with sports gambling being legalized almost anywhere, the commercials that you're seeing, the opportunities that are there, it's just – I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm not even, like, a big bettor either, but I really seem to enjoy picking, like, my own, like, three-pack of games. If I could keep it in a small window and just go with, like, the confidence picks, you know, not just guessing every game that people throw my way. But if I can choose the games, I have a lot of fun with that. And I don't think I would become some sick degenerate either. I think I can manage.
No, and honestly, there are times when I realize, all right, I really do need to watch the Iowa State game. All right. $50 on it.
So it forces me.
Fantasy football will do the exact same thing as well. Let's talk Buckeyes. And again, you heard the intro there. And I want to start with them on defense. Is it a tackling problem or was it just a weak one and we're playing that bunch? Is it a linebacker? Hey, wait a minute. How are we going to be at linebacker or was it their kids and it's week one? Tell me what was a Minnesota thing or what may be an Ohio State thing.
Hey, look, man, I mean, I think when we talked back in the summer, one of the names I threw out was Taraja Mitchell, right? They're more veteran linebacker, and, you know, he can play a couple of the spots there, but with what they're doing and with the bullet position right now, it sort of changes the complexion of this Ohio State defense where there might not be that traditional middle linebacker every single down and distance, you know, like they might use some of their athletes and put them in some different spots, you know, weak side, strong side, and just get their guys out in space. And they need to be multi-skilled. Like every single Ohio State linebacker that they throw out there, they need to, you know, be confident that a guy can at least pick up a tight end in coverage for 5 or 10 yards and hold his own. But what you said, I think it's valid for people to point at the Ohio State back seven and see some issues there. You know, it's not like they got, you know, we watched the NFL season opener last night where you got these Tampa Bay Buccaneer linebackers led by a dude named Devin White, and they're complete studs, right? Yeah. Like he's the best linebacker in football right now, bar none. Ohio State doesn't have anybody, even at the college level, proven like that. They lost everybody to the NFL, so this is what happens. But you rely on the strength and the recruiting. There's all these different guys, you know, aside from Taraja, sort of the trio that had kind of came in the same class and grew up together but was always behind more talented dudes was Kayvon Pope and Dallas Gant, along with Taraja. I kind of put those three in the same group. And then the good news is for one of the younger guys named Tommy Eichenberg, who got his first start, he's one of the guys you're going to continue to see. Some of the other players are talking about him as a leader already. So that's good news, but that doesn't mean that everything is just going to be solved and you're going to have the greatest linebacking core in college football in the first 3 or 4 weeks. This will take some time to iron out, and this is the biggest test for them tomorrow before the bye week. It is.
Well, let's talk C.J. Stroud and his game. And again, it's week one for a kid making his first. I think he played some last year. I don't think he threw a pass, but
he did not. He had a long touchdown run. That was it.
Boom! There you go. We got we had some good, and we had some. Oh yeah, he's a freshman. But tell me what you just give us the flyover, C.J. Stroud, after all of one game.
Yeah, I think as far as first starts go, you don't just look at the first half, right? A football game is four quarters. If anything, I would argue that the second half counts more than the first half, especially when you look at the opponent, a Minnesota team that was bringing 20 guys back. You know, I thought a couple things here.
On the road, in a Minnesota crowd, when Ohio State comes to town, I mean, that you get their best, whoever it is,
yes,
in a Minnesota crowd for a freshman, that ain't easy.
The point to be made is all these other recent Buckeye quarterbacks who are awesome at the collegiate level, and they're, you know, clearly Dwayne Haskins isn't missing the NFL. Justin Fields is not going to be. But you get to start typically against a softie, right? Whether that's a MAC school at home at noon at Ohio Stadium, you get some pretty good little tune-up games. This was not that. On the road with fans back post-pandemic, even though we're still kind of in it, but you get the point.
Yeah.
Fans back in the stadium, tough environment. And as much as I was pleased to see C.J. Stroud figure it out, lean on his weapons, I mean, the numbers that came out of that game were just ridiculous. I think he averaged 47 yards per completion or something like that in the second half. He had five completions, Chuck, for like 230-some yards in the second half. It was absurd. But when you got two of the best receivers all time at Ohio State, you might just want to lean on them, lean on the strengths. And he did that, and I hope to see growth against Oregon.
Wrapping up our buddy Tim Hall. All right, I want to take this one by one, and I'm going to start with Travion Henderson. Okay, wow. I saw a note that somebody I respect a year ago had said if this commit to Ohio State was there, he would start as a high school senior. And I was like, that's nice. That's what you kind of, you know, everybody has those same little phrases we throw out. All right, I'm in. Travion Henderson touched the ball all of three times. That's a special-looking kid.
He is a special-looking kid. I'm not sure I can get there with that statement about starting as a high school senior, because I mean, just look at him now. I mean, he lost that senior year, and that was huge. So also a lot of credit to Travion Henderson for coming in and being ready like that when you didn't even play high school football as a senior. But Ohio State, regardless of who they have in here, the guys that have been around the program, their running game is a strength of what they do offensively. And Master Teague has been here for a while. I'm not throwing him to the curb yet. The other guy, though, besides Travion, who, again, I am so excited to see what Henderson can do as a runner and as a pass catcher, but Mayan Williams, man, the meatball, Mayan Williams, who is just – he ran the wrong play on his long 70-yard touchdown run. He didn't even go in the right direction with how the play was designed, and he still scored. I love at least those first two backs when you talk about Mayan and Travion Henderson right now.
Why did Mayan get the start? Because Master Teague, you're right, he's the upperclassman, and Travion is obviously going to carve out his own stud legacy in C-Bus, but why did Mayan get the start?
Yeah, just relentless hard work and dedication to the craft and just proving it every single day in practice. He became a guy for Tony Alford's unit here, who's the running backs coach, that you just couldn't avoid. I mean, he is the kind of guy that won't play any favorites. It's what are you doing right now? Who's playing the best? And if we got multiple guys that are playing the best, then we will rotate and we'll get him in. I wish they would have gone more of the hot hand with him, though. I'll be honest. I wish he would have gotten a few more touches. I think he only had 9 in that game. If he keeps doing that, feed him. Do the old feed Zeke mentality. Let's see what he can do. See how far he could go.
And so when you get into conference play and, you know, you ratchet it up even more, I mean, you're not going to be using four. I wouldn't assume you would use four backs like that. So maybe Marcus Crowley is kind of boated off the island a little bit as far as the depth chart goes.
Yeah. Let's
talk Jeremy Ruckert a little bit, because in the footprint, you know, we're Lexington to Ocala, Baton Rouge, we're the Southeast. There are plenty of school programs don't even use tight ends. And when you say tight end, they're like, oh, yeah, Kyle Pitts in Iowa. That's where all the tight ends are. Talk about Jeremy Ruckert, because he's a guy that, I mean, it's a short list in college football, but he's a tight end who can do some damage.
Oh, my God. I mean, when you think about what you get on the outside with Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, and again, he had one catch for 15 yards in the first game. Don't be fooled by that. I think more than you've seen in the last 5 or 10 years, because I do think you have to go back to Ricky Dudley at Ohio State.
He's a first-round pick.
Find, Yeah, and a great basketball player too, right? Like those tight ends, they're just naturals, right, of being the dual sport stars. But I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I'm talking about like a real, like legit tight end receiving season, something north of 500 yards or 600 yards. You know what I mean? Jeremy Ruckert absolutely has that ability. I think he's got the ability to be a 1,000-yard receiver. And I think a Kyle Pitts type of dude, I think a Mark Andrews type of dude, he's one of these guys I guarantee you will go to the NFL and you'll see way more production there just because stylistically what they do, you'll say, wow, where was this guy at Ohio State? He's been there. He's just been doing other things. The second they need him to be their pass-catching dog, he can do it. And this is the guy we're talking about with 14 catches is his best year. Right, in college football.
Like you're talking Mark Andrews, here's the measuring stick. This is honestly because everything in the NFL is about the cap. If you're a second contract guy, I mean, that's a heck of a compliment that you're drafting teams. Mark Andrews just got his second contract. I think he got like $70 million. And so, yeah, Ruckert could be a second contract
guy. 4 years, 56, I think.
Oh, yeah. 56. That's right.
Ruckert is a second contract guy. I'll say that. September 10th, 2021. I guarantee that. 6'5", 252. He can block. He's got wide receiver skills. He's an incredible player.
Yeah. All right, brother. Appreciate it as always. I'm sure Ohio State will have some interesting games later on. We'll have you back on, all right?
Sounds good, man. Anytime.
All right, Tim Hall, 97.1 in Columbus. Hosts the Buckeye Show Monday through Friday every night, I think 6 o'clock up there. And it's like we talk college football. They talk Buckeye athletics every single night. Year-round, and I'm talking in a dedicated program. If you're on a sports talk station in Columbus, you're talking Buckeyes obviously every day, but it's also going to be the Cincinnati Reds. It'll be what are the Bengals going to do in the draft, etc. He talks just Buckeyes. That's different than, like I've told a story before, a buddy of mine, and this could be true for 25 people that I know, but buddy of mine who doing sports talk in Knoxville, and he's like, every single day, it's just Tennessee athletics. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be the horseshoes team. It could be whatever. He's like, it's just Tennessee. I so want to talk Tennessee Titans. And he's like, nope, it's got to be the Vols. That's a little different because you could take it in another direction, but the listeners always wanted to bring him right back into Knoxville. They give you 2 hours a night there in Columbus, just dedicated to Ohio State because they know the folks want it at least in that dose. So we're going to take a break, come back, wrap up hour one next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It'll be an SEC environment, which will be hostile. It'll be loud. We need to make sure our poise and composure is right. This is an SEC roster. It's big. It's physical. They believe in running the ball. They're flying around fast, physical defense. And we need to make sure that we match or exceed that intensity and that physicality.
How about that? Steve Sarkisian talking the road game, the historical road game. We've already talked about it. We had a little campfire, and it was story time. Texas at Arkansas, Razorback Stadium, Fayetteville. That is tomorrow night. That is a 6 o'clock local kick. And when I say historical, that was the site of the 69 game. It was 1-2, undefeated Arkansas hosting undefeated Texas. That's when they were both in the old Southwest Conference. And 15-14 was the final. President Nixon was there to award the national championship trophy after the final regular season game. Remember, not everybody played bowls. Like Notre Dame, that was the big deal with the 60, and I wasn't even alive, folks, but in 66, with Notre Dame, the Michigan State thing, and Notre Dame's like, yeah, we don't play bowls. That's beneath us. And then when they started getting left out of some national championship races, when you had, well, you're undefeated, but then you played in the Orange Bowl, so Penn State, here you go. Notre Dame's like, let's rethink that, please. So it kind of got a little more standard after that. But Texas and Arkansas, that 69 game, and Texas went on to win the Cotton Bowl and be crowned national champs in just about every other place. But here was – there was that actually – it planted a sort of a mustard seed of a rivalry between two schools that really never play, because Penn State actually went undefeated in 1969. And – when the president declared Texas the national champs and there still were bowl games to be played, Penn State said, you just biased all the voters against us. And so that was sort of a side story there. And Joe Paterno actually never let it go. Actually referred to it in the commencement speech about 5 years later on campus there at Penn State, what the former President Nixon had done there. So that's a historical game that Steve Sarkisian is talking about there. There is a lot on the schedule tomorrow. And one of those games that I'm looking forward to, not necessarily for the outcome. We'll have Dan Matthews jumping in just a minute as well. But one of the games I'm looking forward to, not necessarily because of the mystery of the outcome, but because, all right, now let me build one more week of knowledge on a team. It's not just that they could influence the national championship, or they could help decide. No, they could be national champions, and I'm talking about Texas A&M. The Texas A&M-Colorado game, it may not head your list of games with intrigue tomorrow. It's 3:30 kick Eastern, 2:30 Central if you're listening to us in the middle of the country. And Texas A&M is a team that, even if you dismiss them, even if you don't take them seriously, or I'll believe when I see it, well, you may need to see it beginning tomorrow. Haynes King, we talked yesterday, the turnovers is the way. You don't even have to be overly effective as a quarterback for Jimbo Fisher, but, you start taking yourself out of the lineup with turnovers, and whether it's, you know, either a tip pass, that's on the quarterback, or it's a pass off the receiver's shoulder pads or something, all right, now that's on the receiver, especially when you've got a first-time starter who's, I think, a redshirt freshman, and he's a guy that needs some of the – if you're an upperclassman receiver – you know, Kellen Mond was going to throw you open last year. You need to get open for Haynes King this year. And so that is definitely a game. It's the same sort of thing we were talking about with a step up in competition for Tennessee. Except Tennessee, their goal is a 13th game. And I ain't talking about in Atlanta. Texas A&M's goal of a 13th game is at MBS. And then a 14th and a 15th game. So when they step up in competition, best thing about Kent State last week, did anybody watch that Kent State game? They looked like throwing just a nod to the San Diego Chargers. They went old school San Diego. Kent State Golden Flashes, they went with the beautiful uniforms, and they got hammered in a game where Texas A&M was trying to keep them in it just because they don't have the roster to follow through on that, even being +2 in turnovers. So Texas A&M, at home against Kent State, believe me, in Boulder against the Buffaloes, it's not quite the same as going into Sanford Stadium. It's not quite the same. But in Boulder against Buffaloes, a lot different than at home against Kent State. And so that's why the 3:30 middle of the day kick there for the Aggies. that is worth your time. Dan, what's up on this Friday
oh,
for you?
Oh, man, everything is good. And it's actually good that we played Steve Sarkisian at the beginning, because I actually thought about this last night, where, remember, for the longest time, and still is in certain cases, there are some programs out there that when they have a vacancy, hey, how about this coordinator out here? How dare you? We don't hire coordinators for this job. This is not a job for a coordinator.
Experience.
Absolutely
head
not.
Coaches
that,
only.
That is it. Experience.
With success at the Power 5 level.
Only ones need apply, but I will say.
Hang on, can I say, that means you're going to hire either Urban Meyer or Nick Saban, like six guys.
Exactly. Exactly. The pool is very small in that, right? And usually a lot of them are just not available to you. So eventually you find yourself down a path where you really didn't have a plan, because you thought that in our mind, that's going to work so well because we're so desirable. Everybody's going to drop what they're doing and come join us. And usually it's not the case. But I will say that Steve Sarkisian has a really interesting chance to do something different this year. Chuck, haven't we always seen that on the pro and college level, that hiring practices, it's so much of a pattern thing, and it's so much of a, hey, that worked out well for them, maybe it can work out well for us. And in this case right here, if Steve Sarkisian is able to, say, take this Texas team to a 10-win season this year, let's just throw out a number for that, and it's a, wow, all right, they've got things going, it looks like that program is moving forward, maybe we can have that for our program. I do think that you will see other programs around college football say that normally would not say yes to an offensive coordinator, no matter if they did have hands of Nick Saban placed on them to be able to come in and lead their program. For the longest time, Texas was thought of as being that. It took Chris Del Conte to probably finally say to the Board of Trustees, who are we to turn down anybody for this job anymore, especially somebody who has been a head coach before,
yep,
had some success,
yep,
and probably led said programs to be what they eventually became. And in that case right there, I think that if we do see other high profile openings this offseason, if you do see good success in Austin, you could see the Steve Sarkisian effect come to college football.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe that effect, I wonder how much of it involves, you know, personal demons and missteps and whatever. And I'm speaking, you know, specifically about how it may relate to Hugh Freeze. And getting a, because he could have been, I know Hugh Freeze could have been coaching at a program, and I'm talking heritage, history, interest, etc., a program a few steps up the ladder from Liberty. Hugh Freeze could be on a more important sideline tomorrow than Liberty. He chose to wait. I'm wondering if, because bottom line is, if you win, and I'm going to say at a place like Texas, I'm not indicting Texas here, I'm just saying that just a mega, 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 you know, uber rich program, if you're able to win, then they're all about the rehab. That's the bottom line. If he goes 7-5, then it's not going to be because he had demons, you know, at USC. Hugh Freeze is viewed a little differently, because that is viewed more as a choice and a failing, necessarily, than Steve Sarkisian. But it's still the same principle that, you know what, it has, there is more of a history of rehab coaches than just Steve Sarkisian now. And so I wonder if that's going to kind of open doors for others. Bobby Petrino sure didn't do anything to help others along, but that's kind of his history as well. But I really am pulling for Steve Sarkisian. And here's the thing. You know, I was talking about just general interest for sort of an oddball way for me with Pittsburgh and Tennessee tomorrow. That's not the case with the Texas and Arkansas game. That game tomorrow night in Fayetteville, that's really worth watching on its own.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.